Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Baird, your speaker. Today we will continue in our series of studies in seven methods of Bible study. And today we wish to consider the sixth method of Bible study, and that is the prophetical method. And in that method we see the schedule of the Lord. The Lord has a schedule. He knows beforehand what is going to happen. And he himself was a prophet, and he's the greatest of the prophets. And he was that prophet. We're going to be speaking quite a bit about him today. Now, in the matter of the prophetical studies, they are the proof of God's omniscience, and I love God's omniscience. I love the fact that God knows the beginning from the end, or the end from the beginning, and the so-called sacred writings of the world's religions do not contain prophecy. Only the scriptures contain prophecy. Only God, writing through his writers, the apostles and the different ones, the prophets who wrote in the scriptures, David himself, of course, only they, as led by the Spirit of God, could tell what was going to happen in the future. I love the omniscience of God. I love it because of the fact that God knows us. Now, for instance, in speaking of the omniscience of God, we say that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the Scripture. When did Christ die for my sins? He died for my sins over almost 2,000 years ago. How did God know what I was going to be doing 2,000 years after Christ died on the cross for my sins? God is omniscient. He knew everything that I was going to do in my life. Everything that was wrong, he knew them. And he placed those sins on Christ on the cross of Calvary, and he didn't forget one. Suppose he had. This is going to be ridiculous. It's ludicrous. I hope you'll tolerate it. Suppose that God would come to me and say, Ken Baird, I'm sorry, but I forgot one of your sins. Well, what would that do to me? It would shut me out of heaven. He's not going back to that cross. Sin's debt is paid. Paid because of the omniscience of God. I wonder if we realize that. The greatness of God. And we see it in the prophecies, because he knows what's going to happen in the future. Now, he not only knows it, but he's told it to us. It is the schedule of events. There's a method in God's revelations, and I think that we should consider them. Now, for instance, Daniel was the great prophet in the Old Testament. Now, Daniel was an exile in the land of Babylon as a young lad. He was carried by the king of Babylon in the first deportation of the children of Israel to that city. And Daniel was placed in that city. And he was reared, and got the rest of his rearing, in Babylon. Now, he is the greatest prophet in the Old Testament. Years later, after he was a grown man, we see the force of his prophecies. Now, why did God tell him what he was going to do? God told Daniel what he was going to do in the future. It was to comfort Daniel. Daniel, all is not lost. I have a plan. I have a schedule. And I'm going to carry it out. Now, there was another prophet who was in exile, John the Baptist, on the Isle of Patmos. John the Apostle was on the Isle of Patmos. And God gave him a revelation. He is the writer of the book of Revelations. And while he was there in exile, God told him what he was going to do. Here John was shut up. He could not go back to Israel. He was an exile. And here God gives him a comforting message. This, John, is the way it's going to be. And then he tells him in the book of Revelation. And John passes that information on to us. Now, this was a comfort to John, and God comforts you and me with his revelations. You know, we're exiles in a sense. We read in 1 Peter 2:11 these words. Dearly beloved, Peter writes, I beseech you, strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Now, he calls us strangers and pilgrims. Who is a stranger? He's somebody that's away from home. And he's indeed a pilgrim. He's somebody that's going home, but he's not there yet. He's somebody that's away from home. We're away from home. Does prophecy comfort you? It should feed our hearts, not our heads. Oh, I know it's a heady subject to be able to handle prophecy correctly. And it is intensely interesting. But you and I, bless your heart, God comforts us with what he's going to tell us that's going to be in the future. Our cause is not lost. God has a plan. In Philippians, for instance, in Philippians 3:20, we read there, Paul writes to his beloved Philippians, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." Now, indeed, that our citizenship, the margin has it more correctly. When he says there, our conversation is in heaven, that's the old English way of putting it. I'm reading from the King James, the authorized version. All right. Our citizenship is in heaven, not here. We sing that song sometimes. I'm just a pilgrim and a stranger. Well, it isn't the one I wanted. I'm in this world, I'm just a passing through. Heaven is my home. Oh, well, I can't remember it. So we'll go on. We sing it. But we're on our road home. And these things are true of us. Now, God's prophecies in the Old Testament were of the coming of Christ, Israel's future in the millennium. It's seen in the book of Isaiah. We'll see it in our next study in our dispensational topics. They're lovely, what Isaiah says about Israel in that millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let's talk about God's prophecies as they concern you and me. Now, this is for comfort. This doesn't feed the head. It feeds the heart. Listen to what God is going to do. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming back for us, and he's going to personally escort us to heaven. He says in John chapter 14, verse 1, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." This is in the future. It was a prophecy. He said it 2,000 years ago. All right. Now, this same message was given by the angels in the first chapter of Acts when Christ rose, ascended into heaven in the presence of his disciples. We read there, the Lord is the speaker. "But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and in the uttermost part of the earth." When he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Now listen, please. "And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall go into the heavens in like manner as ye have seen him go up into heaven." He's coming back. The angel said so. Paul says so in the fourth chapter of 1 Thessalonians. Let me read it. It's a wonderful portion of Scripture. "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, but ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so also them which sleep in Jesus God will bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep." Paul is acting as a prophet here. These words are from God. "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." We don't feed the head with this. We feed the heart. Christ is coming back. He said he would. the angel said he would, and here the apostles, or the apostle Paul says he would, acting and receiving his dictation from the Spirit of God. He is coming back. This is a threefold promise, and a threefold cord is not soon parted, we're told in Ecclesiastes. All right, this is for us. Now, God's prophecies as concerning all mankind are written by John, the apostle, in the book of Revelation. He speaks of the rise of the Roman Empire in chapter 13. He speaks of the rise of a powerful and miracle-working Jewish leader in that same chapter. This Jewish leader has power to call down fire from heaven. And here we see in that 13th chapter of Revelation, we see a trinity of evil. This is all of Satan's doing. We see the beast, the head of the revived Roman Empire. We see the false prophet in that Jewish leader that is such a miracle-working, powerful man. And then we see, indeed, Satan back of the scene. It's a trinity of evil. And he's telling, John is telling us, what's going to happen in that day. And then we see the rise of the Chinese and Japanese people when the Euphrates is dried up and that the way of the kings of the East might be prepared. Yes, they're going to come over on that scene. I think they're jealous of the Roman Empire. I don't know whether there's going to be war or not between the Japanese and the Chinese people and Rome for the control of this earth. I don't know. But I know there's going to be the Battle of Armageddon. And that's going to be northwest of Jerusalem in the valley of Esdraelon. That is mentioned by John's writings. Now, are these anything comforting to you and me? Not particularly. But I'm telling you, they're a warning to all mankind. These things are going to happen. Now, it's good to know them, and it's good to know that God has his program of destruction of this world and is going to be brought in. Now, we're going to have the eternal state of Satan and his angels after the millennial reign of our Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus is going to reign for 1,000 years. It's mentioned in the 20th chapter of Revelation. We can't read it. But Satan, at the end of that 1,000 years, is going to raise up a rebellion in mankind. They're going to attack the Jerusalem, the city of the Lord, and they're going to be destroyed. These things are brought before us for our learning and admonition upon whom the ends of the age have come. Our Father, we thank you today for the prophetic studies in the Scriptures that you have told us what you're going to do. And these words are sure. And we have reason to comfort one another with these words. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.